He has been a professional money manager for the last 18 years. He is a regular contributor to the Fox Business Channel and Bloomberg Radio. In addition to this, he is a regular contributor to TheStreet.com and MarketWatch.com. Now he's live here on the Wall Street Business Network. Here is Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday morning, August 17th. It's the live edition of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson in San Diego, California. We have the market starting off. Hey, Mondays are bad enough. Come on. We don't need a downdraft in the market, but you know, it is what it is. It's down 97 right now on the Dow. The Dow is at 17,380. The S&P 500 is down 8.8 points today. That's 0.4%. The S&P 500 is at 2,082. The NASDAQ, also down 0.3%. It's faring a little better than the other two big indexes. The NASDAQ's at 5,032, down 16 points. You know, here's probably the reason behind this move down. Actually, there's two reasons. Crude oil, down again. Man, is crude going to find a bottom here somewhere? $42.91, down another 0.5%. And, of course, that takes a little air out of the S&P 500 earnings. Gold, up 0.6%, $1,119 per ounce. The euro is at 1.1085. The 10-year yield is at 2.1570. See, I'm trying to get a robotic-type voice going here because pretty soon we're going to have a robot do the show. 2.1500 today only. 10-year yield down a little bit on the weakness in the market. The other big surprise today was the Empire State Index. Yes, the Empire, New York State, actually negative, which we haven't seen since 2009. Could that mean that a recession's on the way? So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management in San Diego, California. Well, we spent some time last week, the last few days of the week, writing up a newsletter for people all over the world. Those that have been following me know that I have been a bull since March of 2009, and I'm not a perma-bull. And now that we have the Chinese yuan entering into the fray, I wrote in my newsletter over the weekend, could this be the big yuan? The big yuan that brings the bull to an end. Could next year be the year of the bear? Well, you know, we've had a lot of bricks added to the wall of worry in the market over the last several years. Boy, I should keep a catalog. If I went back in my newsletters ever since this bull market began, I bet I could catalog and write down a little nice timeline of all the bricks that have been added to the wall of worry. Now, some people say this is the big one. This is the Great Wall of China, this wall that we have to climb over. Let's not forget, China's the second biggest economy in the world. China's struggling with their economy. They had to devalue their yuan, which makes their goods more attractive on world markets, and it makes our goods less attractive. But as I always say, one of the Gundersonisms is there's a sunny side of the street and there's a dark side of the street. As long as you remain on the sunny side of the street, of this yuan devaluation, you might even be able to turn it into a good thing in your portfolio. There's also an old Chinese proverb that says 3 feet of ice does not result from 1 week of cold weather. And the people in Minnesota can relate to that. It takes a while before the lake freezes over and you got to drill through it to catch those lake trout out of there. We don't have that problem here in San Diego. I can't remember the last time I saw 3 feet of ice, except at the local ice house when we go fishing. We need a big block of ice to put our tuna on. Anyways, we had a week of cold weather in the market, and it was surrounded. It was because of the devaluation of the Chinese yuan, their currency. How many yuans does it take to make a dollar? Well, I showed a chart of the Chinese yuan in my newsletter over the weekend, and you can see the drop, a pretty precipitous drop. From, let's see if we go 1.5 down to 15, that's about a 25% drop in their currency since May. That's a pretty steep drop. But the other side of that is, I look at the dollar, and I don't see a big jump in the dollar. In fact, I've seen a little slight drop in the dollar here recently. While the yuan's been going lower, the dollar has not been going higher as one would expect. Let's just take a look at UUP today. It's up 3 cents, no big deal, up a little bit. But I don't see the big rise in the dollar. Now, low oil prices, that hits oil and gas exploration companies, doesn't it? Low oil prices, however, help airlines, cruise ships, refiners, other companies that depend heavily on petroleum products. Well, the devaluation of the yuan also has a sunny side of the street. I think it was last Thursday I sent out a tweet. I said, you know, anybody who thinks we're entering into a new bear market, please take a look at a chart of Home Depot, which is breaking out to new highs, which it broke out to new highs last week. If we're entering into a new bear market, why then is a market leader, a market major player in the indexes like Home Depot breaking out to new highs? And as I scratched my head a little more and wondered a little bit why this is taking place, it dawned on me, and it's pretty obvious if you take a look at other consumer discretionaries. Doesn't the devaluation of the yuan aid importers of goods from China? Sure it does. It just made their expenses a little bit less. Maybe we'll fatten their bottom line a little bit more. Who does it hurt? It hurts exporters to China. Think about the importers of Chinese trinkets and goods. I'll bet if you went through your local Home Depot and your local Lowe's company, another stock that broke out yesterday, reversing a slight downtrend, you would find a lot of goods made in China. You know, they've got all those barbecues lined up, ready for you to take home and grill some kebabs on this weekend. I'll bet a lot of those things, if you look under the hood, are made in China. How else do you think they sell them so cheaply at Home Depot and Lowe's? I have both Home Depot and Lowe's on my buy list right now. In fact, I own both of them. One's ranked number 47, the other one's ranked number 113. I would imagine that they're a big, big importer of goods from China. On the other hand, I would imagine that a company like GM, which sells a lot of cars in China, isn't in a very good position right now. Those GM cars just became more expensive in China and less competitive. Doesn't Apple sell a lot of phones in China? Doesn't Qualcomm do a lot of business in China? Doesn't Caterpillar export a lot of big machinery to China? Yeah, I would definitely stay away from exporters of goods to China right now. They're on the wrong side of the street. And I would also avoid, as I've said for many years now, exporters of commodities. Take a look at a chart of Alcoa, which is sinking. Take a look at a chart of U.S. Steel, which is sinking. I can remember when they were the hottest stocks in the market because China had an insatiable appetite several years ago for commodities, which they don't have a lot of. Now they have stockpiles of commodities, some of those stockpiles sitting at their ports, one of which blew up here recently. That's not good. The bottom line is it helps importers and it hurts exporters. I also thought of a couple of other companies like Dollar Tree and Dollar General. Don't you think that a lot of those dollar trinkets that they sell, plates, little tools, little hammers, you can never have too many hammers. You can never have too many pair of scissors at home. I was looking for the scissors just yesterday. I said, honey, we used to have a pair of scissors here. Where did they go? She walked right over to the drawer I was looking in, handed them to me and said, they're right here, dear. I don't know. I guess we're getting old. I'm getting old. She's getting younger. But those trinkets probably come from China. So let's focus on the sunny side of the street of this trade. The importers of Chinese goods are helped by all of this, while the exporters of Chinese exporters to China are hurt by this. So let's stay on the sunny side of the street. But the big question is this the big one? Does the devaluation of the Chinese currency, last week you would have thought that this was going to bring an end to this six-year-plus bull market. What kind of impact will it have? Where do we stand right now in our bull? Will it be another year of the bull, 2016? Well, it will be here on Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. I'll continue to dish the bull. But what about the market? When we come back, we'll take a look at a big picture of the market right now. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour.
Is your IRA being managed by a robot? Does a nameless, faceless computer program make automatic decisions about what to do with your hard-earned money? Perhaps your employer conveniently invested your retirement with a supercomputer mega big box warehouse brokerage firm, and now you're simply thought of as just another number in a vast sea of millions. This is Rob Sanford for Gunderson Capital Management, and I'm here to testify that Bill Gunderson is no robot. I've seen him. Bill is in the office every single day from bell to bell, personally and actively managing the accounts of every single client. He never leaves the helm or turns over the wheelhouse to some junior trainee or office deckhand. He's the skipper. His decisions are thorough, well thought out, researched, and conducted with great care. So give Gunderson Capital Management a call at 855-611-BEST. If you're driving right now and can't write it down, just search Bill Gunderson on the web when you get home. So say goodbye to the robot and shake hands with Bill Gunderson today.
What are the leading asset classes in the market right now? Stocks, bonds, cash, gold?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
What are the leading indexes in the world currently? U.S., Europe, Japan, South America, emerging markets?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
What are the best sectors in the market now? Energy, technology, retail, financials, healthcare?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
What are the best stocks in the market now from a valuation, relative performance, and technical perspective? Exxon, Celgene, Apple, Delta, to name a few.
BestStocksNowApp.com.
The BestStocksNowApp database currently has over 4,000 stocks, indexes, exchange-traded funds, and mutual funds to choose from. What are the best ones now?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
The Best Stocks Now app was invented by Bill Gunderson and Douglas Apperly. Bill Gunderson is the president of Gunderson Capital Management. In addition to the PC version, the Best Stocks Now app is also available on Apple and Android platforms.
BestStocksNowApp.com.
Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter gave a buy signal on the market on March 27, 2009. That was just 18 days after the S&P 500 had finally hit bottom at 666. The buy signal has been in place ever since. How valuable was that call in the weekly newsletter to investors? The market has more than doubled since then. While market pundits were clamoring about a collapsing dollar, runaway inflation, and soaring gold prices, Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter told investors that stocks were the best place to be. Bill Gunderson is not a permabull, however. At some point in the future, the newsletter will give a sell signal. Investors, be warned. The last bear market took 53% out of the S&P 500. Why not sign up for a free 4-week trial to Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter? You can do so by visiting his website at pwstreet.com. Again, that's pwstreet.com.
There are a lot of investors out there in today's world that enjoy managing their own money. There's nothing wrong with this, but maybe you should manage a small portion of your overall portfolio and let a professional money manager manage your serious money. Just like you don't learn how to be an accomplished golfer by spending a few hours on the golf course or at the driving range on the weekends, it takes years of experience to even begin to understand how the financial markets work. And even then, it still takes hours and hours every day to stay on top of an ever-changing marketplace. There are numerous pitfalls that can stand in the way of the part-time investor. If a constant barrage of contradictory opinions keeps you from being able to make sound decisions, if you have a hard time keeping your emotions in check, or if you're continually selling at the bottom and buying at the top, then maybe it's time to consider a full-time professional money manager. Give the folks at Gunderson Capital Management a call and let Bill Gunderson manage your money. You can reach them at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST or pwstreet.com.
And welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour, where we're going to decide, at least I am, I'm going to give you my opinion, my view, as to whether or not the bull market, which began on March 9th of 2009, is still intact. Because that guides us in how we invest right now. That guides us how we allocate our 401ks right now. That guides us how we allocate our rollover IRAs right now. Is it still safe to do everything we can to keep them growing right now? Or should we pull in our wings and prepare for the year of the bear in 2016? This bull market is the third longest one in history. It's now been going on for 6 years and 20 weeks. Well, let's take a look. We're going to go through the big picture of the market, because just like an artist who puts in the finest little detail on his painting, his eyeballs are 6 inches from that painting. Got to step back every once in a while and look at the big picture of the market to see where we're at. Because sometimes people miss the forest through the trees. Well, here we are. Almost three-fourths of the year is now gone. We're cranking along. And we are now up a scant 0.6% on the S&P 500 since the beginning of the year. Actually, no, the S&P, it's a little more than that. It's 1.6%. There we go. The Dow is down 2% since the beginning of the year. And yet I've been bullish on the market all year long. But while I've been bullish, I've also been measured and tempered. I said, you know what? Earnings are going to barely increase this year over last year. At least they're not dropping since last year. And now that we're almost two-thirds of the way through the year, we start looking ahead to next year, which we'll get to here in a bit. The NASDAQ is up 6.6%. It's the best performing index in the U.S. so far this year. And of course, it's been propelled by companies like Amazon and Google and others that have helped propel the NASDAQ to be the leader. But 6.6% is not much to write home about with two-thirds of the year gone. And the reason, again, is those two factors. Rising oil prices and a strong U.S. dollar have taken about $6 worth of earnings out of the S&P 500 this year. Will those $6 come back next year? Well, they will if the U.S. dollar remains about where it's at now. And if oil can at least hold the $40 level, then things look a lot better for next year. But we'll take it one week at a time. But we will get to the bottom line earnings of the S&P 500 here in a moment. Now, as we put the telescope and the binoculars and look around the rest of the world to see if they're catching anything, the answer to that question is no. The emerging markets are down 8% so far this year. And some of the emerging markets are really submerging, like Brazil, where they're now having riots calling for the dismissal of the president that they just reelected, Dilma Rousseff. Brazil is now down 28% year to date. Oil producing companies not doing very well either. Canada down 12.8%. And China, which was flying high at one time, has really had its wings clipped. China is now down 2.9% year to date. You say, well, maybe we should have been in treasuries this year. Well, you haven't done much better there. The long bonds down 1.5%. and the 10-year U.S. Treasury is about flat on the year. Oil, once again, a factor. Oil down 20% so far this year. Gold down 5.8%. So we've really kind of done 9 months here, 8.5 months, and we really haven't gained much traction. But, you know, the market trades in long cycles called bulls and bears. The question is the bear market still intact? Let's take a look at the asset classes around the world. We talk all the time here on the show about asset allocation. And if I was the typical advisory firm in America, and I think I can safely say that, the typical advisory firm in America would have you asset allocated. So much in treasuries, so much in corporate bonds, maybe some muni bonds, maybe a little bit of gold, a lot of international, and maybe some U.S. stocks, and it would be based on your age and your risk tolerance. We had one such account come to us a couple of weeks ago from Schwab. It was a robot-picked account, and I went over the holdings in that account. And the two things that stood out to me is those robots are picking a lot of proprietary products. They must be programmed somehow to favor the proprietary products at the firm. And the other thing that surprised me was they were in a lot of asset classes that I wouldn't have anything to do with at the current time, especially international, especially emerging markets, especially sovereign debt. But that's what they're picking. We're not asset allocators. We go where the action is. And I still, as I look at these asset classes and the current ranking of them, I still see a leaderboard that's dominated by U.S. stocks. And my portfolios that I manage here at Gunderson Capital Management are dominated by U.S. stocks. You won't find any emerging markets. And the asset allocator would say, how can that be? You won't find any precious metals. And the asset allocator will say, how can that be? You won't find any fixed income in my portfolios right now. And the asset allocator will, at this point, get up and walk out the door on me and say, you don't know what you're doing. Well, you know what? Everybody manages money differently. I do not like the outlook for the bond market going forward. I don't like a strong dollar and how it's impacting precious metals. I don't like the emerging markets at all, which are submerging at the current time. I continue to shop in one or two aisles of the supermarket. U.S. stocks, large cap, mid cap, small cap, actually three aisles of the supermarket right now. And the asset classes that I continue to avoid like the plague are emerging markets, anything commodity related or hard asset related. I continue to avoid being short the market. I have no hedges in. There will come a time for that. There will come a time when we can make some money in the inverse funds. But now is not that time. And I continue to avoid anything that's global, whether it's stocks or whether it's bonds. Those are the asset classes that I have no exposure to. And if you think next year or that we have now entered into a new bear market, then be my guest. Go ahead, put your portfolio in SH, which is the opposite. It's the inverse S&P 500. That remains an ugly chart. Anybody who has been short this market for any period of time over the last 6+ years has been dead wrong. And I still believe, but we're going to back it up with facts. It's not just an opinion. We're going to get to the numbers when we come back and a target price on the S&P 500. But I still don't see any opportunity there being short this market or being a bear. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back.
There are a lot of investors out there in today's world that enjoy managing their own money. There's nothing wrong with this, but maybe you should manage a small portion of your overall portfolio and let a professional money manager manage your serious money. Just like you don't learn how to be an accomplished golfer by spending a few hours on the golf course or at the driving range on the weekends, it takes years of experience to even begin to understand how the financial markets work. And even then, it still takes hours and hours every day to stay on top of an ever-changing marketplace. There are numerous pitfalls that can stand in the way of the part-time investor. If a constant barrage of contradictory opinions keeps you from being able to make sound decisions, if you have a hard time keeping your emotions in check, or if you're continually selling at the bottom and buying at the top, then maybe it's time to consider a full-time professional money manager. Give the folks at Gunderson Capital Management a call and let Bill Gunderson manage your money. You can reach them at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST or pwstreet.com.
Is your IRA being managed by a robot? Does a nameless, faceless computer program make automatic decisions about what to do with your hard-earned money? Perhaps your employer conveniently invested your retirement with a supercomputer mega big box warehouse brokerage firm, and now you're simply thought of as just another number in a vast sea of millions. This is Rob Sanford for Gunderson Capital Management, and I'm here to testify that Bill Gunderson is no robot. I've seen him. Bill is in the office every single day from bell to bell, personally and actively managing the accounts of every single client. He never leaves the helm or turns over the wheelhouse to some junior trainee or office deckhand. He's the skipper. His decisions are thorough, well thought out, researched, and conducted with great care. So give Gunderson Capital Management a call at 855-611-BEST. If you're driving right now and can't write it down, just search Bill Gunderson on the web when you get home. So say goodbye to the robot and shake hands with Bill Gunderson today.
What are the leading asset classes in the market right now? Stocks, bonds, cash, gold?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
What are the leading indexes in the world currently? U.S., Europe, Japan, South America, emerging markets?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
What are the best sectors in the market now? Energy, technology, retail, financials, healthcare?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
What are the best stocks in the market now from a valuation, relative performance, and technical perspective? Exxon, Celgene, Apple, Delta, to name a few.
BestStocksNowApp.com.
The BestStocksNowApp database currently has over 4,000 stocks, indexes, exchange-traded funds, and mutual funds to choose from. What are the best ones now?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
The BestStocksNowApp was invented by Bill Gunderson and Douglas Apperly. Bill Gunderson is the president of Gunderson Capital Management. In addition to the PC version, the BestStocksNowApp is also available on Apple and Android platforms.
BestStocksNowApp.com.
Are you having a hard time being in the right places at the right time in the market and being out of the wrong neighborhoods when troubles arise? Why don't you download Bill Gunderson's app, Best Stocks Now, on your Apple or Android device? Every day, the Best Stocks Now app ranks the 45 asset classes that you have to choose from as an investor. It is absolutely vital to be in the right asset classes and out of the wrong ones. This has the potential to greatly increase your portfolio returns over time. It is also important to be in the right sectors of the market and out of the worst ones. The Best Stocks Now app ranks the various sectors in the markets on a daily basis. The app also ranks about 3,500 investment choices daily. The ranking is based on performance, value, and technical patterns. Download the app today from the Apple App Store or the Android Marketplace. That's the Best Stocks Now app.
Nearly every day you hear a tragic story on the news about a teenager and the internet. Well, Be Safe Online would like to share some positive news with you. News of families who have prevented similar tragedies because they were protected with the ultimate family internet filter.
A dad from Ohio writes, "It stopped the kids from getting on a few sites that they should not go to. And the best thing is the time restraints. Online time now ends promptly at 11 p.m. No ifs or just a seconds anymore."
Writes a mom in Minnesota, "I questioned my oldest son and he admitted that the ads he saw in a honey magazine made him curious. He went online to check it out and he told me Be Safe Online blocked it. Thank you so much."
And who can forget the dad in Georgia who wrote this? "With Be Safe's help, I managed to keep my 14-year-old away from a guy who, shortly after, was in the paper for raping another 14-year-old. God bless Be Safe. Go to BeSafeOnline.com and protect your family today. That's BeSafeOnline.com, the letter B, then SafeOnline.com.
And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, so far we've gone over the WAN and decided that it's, in my opinion, not the big WAN. It brought down the market last week, and it made a lot of people stop and wonder, is this the big WAN? Is this the one that's going to bring the bull market to an end? And I looked at it from every which way last week and came to the conclusion that no. Even though it hurts a certain segment of our economy and a certain segment of our S&P 500 and Dow and NASDAQ and S&P 600 and S&P 400 and Russell 2000, it helps and is a benefit to others. So once again, it's important to say on the sunny side of the street, is the company you're invested in an exporter to China or an importer from China? It's better to be an importer from China right now than an exporter to China. We also went through the asset allocations once again. Pretty simple here. I have about 85 cash or 15 cash and 85 U.S. stocks. That's my current asset allocation. 85% U.S. stocks, 15% cash. I don't have any emerging markets. I don't have any international markets. I don't have any goals. Not because I'm prejudiced against them. It's because the numbers, the rankings, do not point in that direction whatsoever. No commodities, no fixed income. Although fixed income's had a good month or two here with the continued drop in the emerging markets and with the problems in China. A lot of people pulling into a safe haven for the night or for the week or for the month. But eventually, I really believe strongly that interest rates are headed higher. So I continue to avoid. I don't see capital appreciation potential in fixed income in the debt markets. Now let's get a little bit more fine here. Those U.S. stocks, 85% U.S. stocks and about 15% cash. There's a lot of U.S. stocks out there. There's all kinds of sectors. And I think if you've been listening to the show, you know that I am not a contrarian. Therefore, I'm not shopping amongst the oil and gas equipment companies, which continue to sink. Eventually, they will find a bottom. But as I've said many times, those technical patterns, I never buy something that's in a downtrend. Eventually, when it finally finds a bottom and starts to go sideways, at least that's some constructive repairs being made. But until that thing starts to turn up again and really start to move once again, and oil prices really start to rise once again, I continue to avoid the oil patch. I dipped a couple of toes in the water earlier this year when it did turn and it looked like oil was going to hit 50, or when oil was going to hold 50. Instead, I soon found out I was wrong and I immediately backed out of those positions and I went into another direction. Let's now take a look at the sectors of the U.S. market. One sector that I need to bring up here right off the bat is the biotech sector. The biotech sector has weakened considerably here over the last several weeks as there's been a bit of a risk-off move in the market, and that's why you've also seen a little drop in interest rates and some money flowing to the bond market, and some of that money where the risk-off people are taking risk-off is in the biotech and in the pharmaceuticals, the two leading sectors in the market. This week, they have dropped from the top 10 sectors. I have lightened up considerably in the individual biotech stocks that I own. I still own the Fidelity Biotech Mutual Fund, but I have a stop in. I have a line in the sand. If it goes below that line in the sand, I will sell them both or sell it for a very nice, handsome profit. And if it stays above that line in the sand, I will continue to own it. It's up a little bit today, the biotech index. So it hasn't crashed and burned yet, but a lot of the high-flying individual biotech stocks have come under pressure here, have come under fire. It kind of began when Biogen reported earnings and they weren't up to snuff, and one by one I saw the biotechs begin to fall. Well, I have a line in the sand on everything that I own, and I actually lightened up on quite a few. Some of them I locked in some big profits, some of them I took small losses on. But the biotech sector for now has disappeared from the top 10. Instead, the internet index, the internet sector has taken over. And I still have some heavy exposure there. Not heavy, but above average. I own Facebook. I own Google. I own Amazon.com, internet-related stocks. That's the number one sector in the market right now. Another sector that's kind of coming on here, is kind of interesting, is the building sector. You know, related stocks. I own Mohawk, which is flooring. I own Acuity Brands, AYI, which is lighting. You know, my wife loves watching the Home Channel, where they flip homes. They go in and they buy a wreck. And then they turn it into, you know, a real nice little home and book a nice profit. It always seems like it's so easy. And yet they can get into some real messes. Well, I see a lot of remodeling going on in my neighborhood. My neighborhood's just as busy as any neighborhood, any zip code in America, as far as people going in and buying old homes, which Point Loma has a lot of them here in San Diego, old Spanish-style homes from the 50s. And they're upgrading those homes. They're changing the color scheme. They're changing the flooring. They're changing the windows. Oh, and you got to do the kitchen. You got to do the kitchen with all the stainless steel and the granite countertops. And then you go into the bathrooms. You got to redo the old porcelain sinks and tile with nice granite and put in those nice, beautiful showers with the rainmaker head up above you. You got to redo the backyard. And a lot of the companies that are related to the building sector, AZZ would be another one. In the building sector, there's a lot of them that I've actually owned right now, and I've done pretty well with them. The healthcare sector is still hanging in there. It had a little sell-off last week, but it continues to be a leading sector in the market. The banks and the insurance companies, they've dropped off a little bit because interest rates have come down. I still think those are good sectors to be in going forward, however, and the financials. Because I think interest rates are going to turn around and start going back up here real soon. So those are the leading sectors in the market. The sectors to avoid continue to be anything having to do with natural gas, anything having to do with commodities like gold miners and junior silver miners, the fracking, the frackers. It appears that Saudi Arabia has accomplished their goal of putting many of the U.S. fracking companies out of business. Anything about metals or mining or oil and gas exploration or solar energy, those are the sectors that I continue to avoid. This continues to be a market as we look around at the asset classes that are available to us. Which ones present the most upside potential over the next 12 months? And I continue to say that the U.S. stock market is still the best asset class in the world to be invested in. In fact, I believe in that so much that I don't even own any other asset classes other than cash. And you can call me foolish, but I don't like the other asset classes. I can't see making any money or any capital appreciation in those. Even these guys that are going in and buying houses now, it seems to me like real estate prices have settled in here. They're not climbing anymore in the 8, 9, 10% area. It's settled into more of a 3 or 4% kind of market. But if you're good at buying something under the market, a rack, and totally refurbishing it and flipping it and turning around and making a couple hundred grand or a hundred grand or 35 grand or whatever it is, there's some opportunity there, I suppose, if you're really good at it, that's your thing. But I continue to say that U.S. stocks present the best upside opportunity out there amongst all of the asset classes right now. Now, when we come back, we're going to get to the bottom line here. The bottom line is that S&P 500 earnings have been growing since the bottom in 2009. They fell all the way down to $59 per barrel, or per share. Earnings have been climbing ever since. They leveled off this year. What about 2016? Because therein, to me, is the bottom line as to whether or not this bull can continue and just how high it can go. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour.
Is your IRA being managed by a robot? Does a nameless, faceless computer program make automatic decisions about what to do with your hard-earned money? Perhaps your employer conveniently invested your retirement with a supercomputer mega big box warehouse brokerage firm, and now you're simply thought of as just another number in a vast sea of millions. This is Rob Sanford for Gunderson Capital Management, and I'm here to testify that Bill Gunderson is no robot. I've seen him. Bill is in the office every single day from bell to bell, personally and actively managing the accounts of every single client. He never leaves the helm or turns over the wheelhouse to some junior trainee or office deckhand. He's the skipper. His decisions are thorough, well thought out, researched, and conducted with great care. So give Gunderson Capital Management a call at 855-611-BEST. If you're driving right now and can't write it down, just search Bill Gunderson on the web when you get home. So say goodbye to the robot and shake hands with Bill Gunderson today.
What are the leading asset classes in the market right now? Stocks, bonds, cash, gold?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
What are the leading indexes in the world currently? U.S., Europe, Japan, South America, emerging markets?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
What are the best sectors in the market now? Energy, technology, retail, financials, healthcare?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
What are the best stocks in the market now from a valuation, relative performance, and technical perspective? Exxon, Celgene, Apple, Delta, to name a few.
BestStocksNowApp.com.
The BestStocksNowApp database currently has over 4,000 stocks, indexes, exchange-traded funds, and mutual funds to choose from. What are the best ones now?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
The Best Stocks Now app was invented by Bill Gunderson and Douglas Apperly. Bill Gunderson is the president of Gunderson Capital Management. In addition to the PC version, the Best Stocks Now app is also available on Apple and Android platforms.
BestStocksNowApp.com.
Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter gave a buy signal on the market on March 27, 2009. That was just 18 days after the S&P 500 had finally hit bottom at 666. The buy signal has been in place ever since. How valuable was that call in the weekly newsletter to investors? The market has more than doubled since then. While market pundits were clamoring about a collapsing dollar, runaway inflation, and soaring gold prices, Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter told investors that stocks were the best place to be. Bill Gunderson is not a permabull, however. At some point in the future, the newsletter will give a sell signal. Investors, be warned. The last bear market took 53% out of the S&P 500. Why not sign up for a free 4-week trial to Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter? You can do so by visiting his website at pwstreet.com. Again, that's pwstreet.com.
Are you having a hard time being in the right places at the right time in the market and being out of the wrong neighborhoods when troubles arise? Why don't you download Bill Gunderson's app, Best Stocks Now, on your Apple or Android device? Every day, the Best Stocks Now app ranks the 45 asset classes that you have to choose from as an investor. It is absolutely vital to be in the right asset classes and out of the wrong ones. This has the potential to greatly increase your portfolio returns over time. It is also important to be in the right sectors of the market and out of the worst ones. The Best Stocks Now app ranks the various sectors in the markets on a daily basis. The app also ranks about 3,500 investment choices daily. The ranking is based on performance, value, and technical patterns. Download the app today from the Apple App Store or the Android Marketplace. That's the Best Stocks Now app.
Jack was ready to quit and justified in wanting out. Ineffective boss, deadweight co-workers, no recognition, a struggling business. He dashed off a blistering resignation by email, then hit the delete key. Now, more coolly, he picked up the phone to arrange an evening with an old mentor. Later, he talked things over with his best friend, who happened to be his wife. The next day, a renewed employee went to work. This is Howard Butt Jr. of Laity Lodge. The new Jack was just as aware of his job's shortcomings. Only now, he intended to be the difference he had long wanted to see. The best change to a bad job starts inside us, in the high calling of our daily work.
Learn more at thehighcalling.org.
Final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, so far we've determined that the devaluation of the yuan doesn't look like it's going to bring an end to the bull market that's been going on now for 6 years and 20 months. Once again, I've determined that the best place for investors to be allocated, in my opinion, with your 401k at work, with your rollover IRA, whatever types of accounts you're managing or having managed, continues to be U.S. stocks. And if you look at your statements, and if you see emerging markets and in international markets and precious metals and fixed income this and fixed income that, that goes against what I see. But everybody's entitled to their opinion. That's why we call it a market. If it wasn't a market, we couldn't match buyers and sellers. For the guy who's bullish on something, he's got to have somebody who's bearish. Otherwise, there would be no transactions going back and forth. There has to be divergent opinions on stocks, on asset classes, on mutual funds, on ETFs. And I have a divergent opinion from the asset allocators. I think there's some assets out there that I don't want to have any exposure to. We've also taken a look at the sectors of the market and how they're shaping up right now. A couple of the leading sectors have come under fire here. That's a new development. For the last many moons, I've said that the biotech sector and the pharmaceutical sector are the leading sectors in the market. They've finally fallen from the top 10. It could be a temporary fall, but it has caused me to sell a lot of my individual biotech stock holdings. I continue to own, however, the Fidelity Biotech Mutual Fund and the ETF IBB, which is the biotech sector. But I have lines in the sand drawn underneath them. Now, the bottom line as to whether or not I think that this bull market can continue and how high I think it can go lies in the S&P 500 earnings, which have been growing every year since 2009, which have flattened out this year for just a slight increase versus last year. As I take a look at the 500 companies that make up the S&P 500 right now, we're pretty much done with earnings season. I think all the S&P 500 companies have reported, about 70% of them beat estimates. And about 50% of them beat revenues. When all is said and done, I don't think I made any change to my S&P 500 estimates for next year. This earnings season neither took nor gave to those estimates. Right now, I'm pretty much where a lot of other analysts out there are. I come in with $132.50 in earnings for the S&P 500 next year, which would be an 11.7% increase over this year. That runs for a pretty bullish forecast for 2016, which is subject to change. I revisit these numbers every single week in my newsletter. So with $132.50 in earnings, what kind of a multiple would I put on those earnings to come up with the target price of S&P for 2016? Well, the long-term multiple of the S&P 500 has been in the 16 to 17 area. When interest rates are a little bit high, you get a lower multiple. You're in the 16 area. When interest rates are low, like they are now, you can be a little bit more generous with the multiple on the S&P 500. I'm using a 17 multiple, which is at the high end of the long-term average. I saw a guy on CNBC last week who used a 20 multiple. I think that's wishful thinking, although markets get irrational from time to time. Think back to 2000 when we got up to a 35 multiple. Well, right now we're trading at about 15.5 times forward earnings on the S&P 500 based on 132.50 in earnings next year. 132.50 times a multiple of 17 equals 2,250. That gives the market over the next 12 months 7.6% upside potential plus dividends. So we still have some decent upside potential on the S&P 500. Furthermore, looking at the chart of the S&P 500, it's bending right now. It's leveled off right now. That's because earnings have leveled off. In my humble opinion, the next move in the market, the next significant move, will not be a breakdown, but a breakout to the upside. And I've already seen a few leading stocks like Home Depot and Lowe's start to break to the upside. It would really help if we could find a bottom in oil and we could start to get the Exxons and Chevrons of the world moving in the right direction. But that remains to be seen. Even without oil bottoming and turning up, I still see 132.50 for the S&P next year and a target price of 22.50, which causes me to remain bullish for the sixth year, 20th week. Once again, I say that the bull market in the U.S., the third longest bull market in the U.S., is still intact. Now, you can sign up for my newsletter. I send it out every weekend. Boy, we got a lot of requests over the weekend. What did Sanford do? Offer another chili relleno recipe? Or my fish taco recipe, which has been in the family for years? My mother is turning over in her grave knowing that he sent out the fish taco recipe. No, I'm just kidding. PWStreet.com. PWStreet.com is our website where you can sign up for our weekly newsletter. And if you would like to talk to us about our capital management here, managing your portfolios, you can reach us at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST. Or you can give us a call, or you can go onto our website at pwstreet.com, which isn't quite as scary to call up a money management firm and talk to somebody. We've got a robot that answers the phone. No, she's not a robot. She'll take your call, put you to the person that these things can best address your questions. Sometimes it's questions about the newsletter. Sometimes it's questions about the radio show. Sometimes it's questions about the Best Stocks Now app, which is another way to explore my style of investing. Go to beststocksnowapp.com and see how I combine momentum with valuation, with value. A very unique combination, but I think makes for a quite tasty combo. This is Bill Gunderson. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisor. All accounts are held at Scottrade. Scottrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.